We have another very special guest with us this morning, Kim Love Kilpak. Many financial service professionals advise people about how to plan and prepare for retirement, disability, and death. But giving advice from the perspective of an advisor is very different than sharing the experience of one who has been there and done that. Our next speaker has graciously consented to share her story and her experiences with us today. Kim is the mother of five children and found that planning wasn't just an exercise in theory, but is preparation for the real life. Thank you for being here, Kim.
I walked in here and I told Chris, I said, you know, this whole building smells like men's cologne. Not that that's bad, but I'm glad to see a few women here. It's nice. Anyway, I am really, truly grateful to be here. Have a lot of mixed feelings. It's been an emotional month thinking about this. He asked me, I think, in what, May? I don't know. So you don't think about it, and then all of a sudden it hits you that you have to do something like this, and you start thinking about it, and it's a little overwhelming, a little daunting. I do feel strongly about life insurance. It saved my life. I'll just tell you that right now. And my desire today is not to offend anyone. I know everyone has trials in life, and they deal with trials in a different way. Each trial is unique to them. This is my story. This is how I dealt with what I went through, and so I hope to not offend anyone. Third, I want you to know that I am not different than anyone else. Trials make people who they are. And I had so much help from family and friends and my Heavenly Father. And that is the real reason I am standing here today. I'm very emotional and petrified. So it's a good thing I have life insurance because my heart's going to jump out of my chest. But anyway, just so you know, I may get a little bit emotional. I met my husband, Sam Love, at Utah State. There he is. He's very important to me. I fell in love with him at first sight. It was definitely love at first sight with Sam and I. We were at Utah State. I was graduating in nursing, and he was graduating in civil engineering. It was perfect. We decided to marry in December that same year, and we traveled around a little bit, settled in Layton. And that's where I met Chris Miller, who asked me to do this, and beautiful Darcy, who's walking in. She's going to hate me. I love these people with all my life, and they're very, very dear friends of mine. We met them in Layton, and then we settled in Pleasant View, built our dream house, and had five children. I had four daughters and one son, and that's Max in the picture. That's my baby boy. We settled there and were very happy. About the same time, Sam's business, Love Engineering, he had started. He had an opportunity to work with my dad, who was an architect. And so he started his business, and it was called Love Engineering. Fabulous business. He was a fabulous engineer. He was amazing with people. He was able to work hard and work fast. And that's one thing I want to talk to you about. Is about Sam. He had some things that were very, very, very important to him. One, first and foremost, was family. He had seven brothers and sisters, very close to his family. And then he had, of course, me, loved his children more than anything, would do anything for them. In fact, he was not the disciplinarian that he should have been sometimes. He'd just say, just give them whatever they want, because he loved them so much. The Mormon faith, he never, ever, ever faltered. Work and school. His dad told me that when he would get ready to go to school and outside waiting for the school bus, he would do this little jig because he was so excited to go to school. When he was nine, he started reading the encyclopedias. He loved to learn, loved school. And that led him on to work. Loved work, and he did later get his master's in structural engineering. Money. He loved money. He told me on our third date, I will have $1 million by the time I'm 30. He came kind of close, but he didn't quite make it. But he had that desire to work hard, that desire, and he wanted to make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with that. Time was so important to Sam. He raced through life. He just raced through life, worked so hard on his business, and just did really well. He would work so hard and so fast that when he would come home from work, he would fall fast asleep with the kids on the floor. And I'd have to wake him up. Dinner's ready. But he worked so hard and so fast. When we went on vacation, money was so important to him that when we would go on vacation, he would turn off the water heater and he would turn off the heat in the house. And we would come home in December, and I remember huddling around the fire with my little kids, waiting for our house to heat up. You know, I'd say, Sam, is this necessary? But, you know, to save that 8 cents a month was so important to him, he just had to do it. I had to force him to buy clothes. He had these pair of shoes that I finally just threw away, had duct tape on the toes and were wired together on the side. Anyway, that just gives you a little idea of Sam and who he was and what he was like. When our youngest child turned 6, I was feeling great. You know, I was done having babies, getting my life back, getting my body back. I was done. And I was just like, you know what? We are ready. I am ready to get acquainted with my husband again. I'm ready to travel. I just want to do all these fun things. So I told him, I said, the next trip we take is me and you. Me and you, we're going to do this, and it's going to be great. Well, it didn't quite turn out that way. So in the year 2005, he decided to kind of change his life around a little bit. He took the kids to, we went to Disney World for 10 days in September. In January, we did a 7-day Disney cruise. In February, we went to Disneyland for 5 days. And in March, we went to Yosemite in California for a whole week. Now, my kids were going nuts because they were missing a ton of school. And, you know, my daughter was the lead in the plays, and the teachers were just about ready to kill us. And I said, Sam, what are you doing? We've got to just keep the kids home. It's you know, you and me, let's just go, you know. But he says, no. He says, you know what? Work is not everything, Kim. And neither is school. I just thought, oh, that's just kind of, that's not like you. What is going on, you know? I am grateful, very grateful that we had that time together with the kids. Okay. The morning of March 2nd, was just a normal morning. He got up, was riding his bike to work, loved to ride his bike, always ride his bike to work. Last thing I said to him was, hey, will you feed the kitty? And he did this little cute jig and said, sure, I'll feed the kitty. And he went off and got on his bike and rode down the road. About 30 minutes later, I got a call from Officer Allen. He sounded horrible, and I just knew. He said, there's been an accident. I need to come and get you. I said, how bad? And he said, pretty bad. He hit his head. I said, was he wearing his helmet? Yeah, he was wearing his helmet. I cut it off him myself. And there crawled in the fear that I had felt for years and years. Every time he got on that bike, was he going to make it home? I sat down and called my dad. I said, can you come and get the kids off to school? And he said, sure. And I told him, there'd been an accident. Officer Allen called me back. He said, I need to come and pick you up. And I said, no, I am not having a police officer come to my house and ring my doorbell. I will drive myself. He said, are you sure? And I said, yes. And we argued for a little bit. He did not want me to drive myself. But I just knew that I had to drive myself. I did not want to ride with a strange officer to the hospital. So I walked up in my room, I walked in my closet, and I said, in a loud voice, what do you wear when a doctor tells you your husband has died? I just knew. I don't know how I made it to the hospital that day. I did try to pass the accident. I saw the car that he hit. It was a pretty big dent. There was blood everywhere. And I saw his bike. And I saw his helmet. So we live on a hill, and the only way down the hill is down. And you remember how I told you Sam raced through life? Well, he liked to go fast. And I don't know why that day, if he was going faster than normal. I don't know if he had a lot on his mind. I don't know if he was worried about something. But the witnesses say he was going quite fast, and there was a truck with big windows, and they were all stopping at a red light. And he came down the hill, and he tried to make it around the windows. Well, on one side of the ground was glass. And on the other side was a storm grate. So as you can tell, that they don't go real well with bike tires. So I think he just got out of control. The witnesses said he got out of control. And the light had turned green by then, and the car was turning left. A young 16-year-old who just got his license going to school, and he hit the car. And then he flew in the air and hit his head. I called my sister. I said, I'm on my way to the hospital. Will you meet me there? When I got there, the ER was extremely quiet. There was nobody there, not what you expect an ER to be like. I walked in, and finally someone peeked around the corner and kind of got a horrified look on her face and then peeked back. I walked over to her and I said, I'm Kim Love. I believe my husband is here. Just as I said that, they all came around the corner, the doctors, the nurses, and someone I recognized, the social worker that I worked with up in the intensive care nursery. I knew it was bad when I saw her. So that day was pretty much a blur. But the worst part about that entire day was thinking, I gotta tell my kids. They were at school. And I knew people were checking them out to bring them in, and they didn't know. And that was just the worst feeling, that I had to muster the courage to tell them. We went to a room, and when they arrived, we went to a room to be alone. And I looked into their eyes and I said, somehow, your daddy is gone. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But we will be okay. Pain is hardly a word to describe. It's excruciating. It is so hard to explain the kind of pain. And a lot of you have probably felt this pain. But you know when you get that pit in the stomach, when you see the flashing red lights in your rearview mirror, or you get some really bad news on the phone, or your daughter calls you and she's crying and you don't know why, that instant pit in your stomach, or like when BYU loses. Go Cougars. You know that horrible pain? How could I be so funny and so sad at the same time? I don't know. Anyway, that pit in your stomach that is just devastating. And with time, it does go away, sometimes minutes, sometimes hours. But this was a pain that stayed with me, never let up, always there for a long time. You take that pain and you just times it by like a million. It just is so intense. My body basically went in shock. For 3 months, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. Mornings, nights were the worst, and my brain would not shut off. I was thinking, how am I going to help my kids get through life? He's not going to be there for their weddings. He's not going to be there for the baptism of Max. He's not going to be there. How am I going to do this? Ambien became my best friend. I used to take 5 baths a day, just hoping to wash it away. I just kept feeling like I needed to do something that brought me joy before, that it would feel better, and it never did. And I hated being the famous one. Oh, she's the one that lost her wife. She's the widow. I hated that. First time I wrote down widow was one of the worst days of my life. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone surrounded me. Everyone was amazing. But it is an empty, lost feeling that only that person who's not there anymore can feel. They tried everything. They took me on, I call them dinner for threes. They tried everything. But he wasn't there. So here I was, barely surviving. As I watched my children try to go through their daily lives, some pretending it didn't happen and just thinking, well, Dad's going to come through the door at any moment. Some, like me, could barely function. I don't think my 8-year-old slept for 6 months. Others ran away. They only wanted to be with friends. All of them looking to me, Mom, help me. One of the hardest moments of my life was when my 6-year-old looked at me and said, Mom, when do I get a new daddy? Within the first week, our dear friend Brian Ellis. Brian, are you here? Oh, there he is. Oh, there's Bonnie. My good friend Brian Ellis showed up at my door and he said, I think I need to tell you something that you, I don't know if you know, but I feel strongly that I need to tell you something. He told me about Sam's life insurance policy. He didn't make things better that day. He didn't make the pain go away by any means, but at least I had that. Do you know, it was that one thing I had that I could hold on to. And one thing that I have to say, and it is so important to me, is when he talked to my dad and asked for my hand in marriage, he promised my dad he would take care of me. And Sam did. He took care of me. Even in death, he still takes care of me. So Sam had two policies. I honestly can say I didn't really know about the first one. I remember something about him saying, you know, I'm worth more dead than alive, some stupid thing. You know what I mean? But I had forgotten all about it. I don't remember it. He had $1 million policy. And then, thanks to Brian, he had another $350,000 policy with Beneficial Life. Now, I don't know. I don't know if Sam knew something, if that last year was just amazing because he had felt something different. I don't know. But he did buy that last policy with Brian, and I can tell you, I am so grateful he did. I paid off the house. I paid off the Love Engineering building. He was being sued at the time of his death, and maybe that is one reason, one thing he had on his mind as he was going down that hill. I was able to hire a great attorney. They, you know, thinking that possibly this man would maybe dismiss Sam out of the case after his death, he turned around and started suing Sam Love Estate, which was me and the kids. So I was able to hire a great attorney. You know what? Life happens, and you have to be prepared. That worked out really well. I was completely debt-free. We decided to take trips. Everything reminded me of Sam, so I said, you know what? We're going to go on a trip once a month. We went to Disneyland. Sam's brother, who looks a lot like him, lived in California. We went to see him a couple times. That was so important for my kids to see him. We went boating. We went skiing. We did all those things that we used to do and always did. We went to New York, and we went shopping. We went shopping in New York. I mean, it was amazing, you know, to just to have that time with my kids and to not worry about money was incredible. You know, they always say money doesn't bring happiness. Well, it does. Just so you know, it brings happiness. And it was just amazing for us. One of the most amazing things is that I was able to stay home. I'm a nurse. I could have gone back to work. I could have found a great job. I was home. That was the hugest thing for me. I was home when I would get a phone call, Mom, I'm having a really bad day. Can we go to lunch? I was home for those reasons and those times when I needed to be there. So how is my life today, you ask? I'm great. I'm really, really, really happy. That next year, we had some really good friends introduce me to a man named Scott Kilpak. He lived in Houston. His wife had passed away 6 weeks before Sam died. And we started talking. And it was really nice. It was really refreshing. I was not in any way ready for anything like this. But he understood what I was going through. And when he would tell me how he was taking care of his kids all by himself, it was amazing to me to learn that you just do what you have to do. After talking a few months, we decided that life is too short, and more importantly, life is way too long when you're alone. So I flew down to meet his kids. After 3 days, the two youngest were calling me mom. My kids were gonna kill me. It was kinda soon. It was only about a little over a year. And I just sat him down and I said, you know, you can't understand this right now, but I promise you one day you will. There were tears at our wedding, not tears of joy. But we are really, really happy. And I decided that we needed each other, and that the kids needed each other, and the kids needed us, more importantly. So I went from having 5 kids to 11, and it is crazy. It hasn't been the easiest thing. I did bring a picture. Where'd the picture go? I won't pass this one around, but hey, and we're just getting started, okay? We probably have like 50 grandkids. We have 11 kids. I have 4 at Utah State, 6 including son-in-laws. I have 1 down here at BYU. I have a senior in high school. I have a junior. I have 2 ninth graders and a 7th grader. We only have 8 more weddings to go. And it cost me like $850 just to register the kids for school. This is elementary, you know, like junior high and high school. So it is very costly. When Scott moved here, in order to move here, he ripped up his kids and their life and everything and moved here for me. He was out of work. He lost his job. So, you know, we had a long time to just, he did little jobs on the side, but we had a long time to just blend and just to get to know each other. And thanks to our life insurance kickback every month, you know what? It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So, you know, why am I here today? And I'm going to wrap this up. I know you're talking about a lot of really exciting things, like that one topic, the 7 deadly traps of retirement or something, because that's exciting. But life insurance is the most exciting thing and the most important thing, and is why you're here. And I hope that my experiences will help you. Use my story. Have them email me. I don't care. But I cannot stress to you enough how important having that life insurance was. You know, you're so worried about your kids and their emotional well-being that you can't even think monetarily. It's just too overwhelming. So do you remember Brian? It wasn't easy for him. He told me, and I didn't realize this. You know, I get so busy with the kids, and I don't know what Sam's buying or doing. He took all care of that all by himself. But Brian was changing careers. He was branching out, selling life insurance, so he approached Sam. And it took 8 calls. 8 calls. And finally, Sam, I guess, said yes. It's not easy, and you have to be perseverant. You have to try, and you have to have determination. I'm so grateful for Brian and his determination. And I'm so grateful for Bonnie. She's there too. They helped me more than you know. And he also had the insight to not replace his old policy, but to just add to it. How grateful I am for that. So do 2 things for me. You go out and you tell people my story and you sell life insurance. And you get them, I don't care how, you get them to get life insurance. I told everyone I know, you go out and you get life insurance. My sister did immediately. She found out her husband had an illness that needed to be taken care of. He's fine, but they never would have known that if they hadn't gone and looked into life insurance. All my siblings have life insurance. It is so, so important to me. I loved listening to Scott, I don't know if he's still here, talk about his wife. The other thing I want you to do for me is go home and tell those you love that you love them. Do not take anything for granted, because life does happen. Life is crazy, and you never, ever know. And I just appreciate so much being here, and thank Chris for, you're taking me to Costa Rica, right, for free? Okay. Anyway, I appreciate being here, and thank you, and good luck with everything.